Hey LA, Lance Bass here with the latest in the City of Angels. Immerse yourself in our vibrant fashion scene where exclusive streetwear meets high-end boutiques. Stroll through styles defining our bold, wildly creative city, like the unique finds at Melrose Trading Post, a real LA gem. Explore star-studded experiences on Hollywood Boulevard, behind-the-scenes studio tours, and moments of awe under our legendary blue sky. Picture this. The iconic Griffith Observatory, inspiring directors worldwide. Plan your weekend at discoverla.com. It's the time to leave your mark in the City of Angels. Lance Bass, signing off.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Frosted Tips with Lance Bass,
an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, my little peanuts. It's me, your host, Lance Bass. This is the brand new show, Frosted Tips, with me, Lance Bass, and my co-host,
Michael Turchin.
That's my husband, if you didn't know already. Welcome to the show, guys. We are so excited to finally bring this show out. We've been talking about this for probably 3 years, right?
Literally, yes. 3 years.
And if you've listened to our other shows before, you know we love our pop culture, so you're going to get tons of it on this show. But we want to do something special. Because we wanted to take you back. We wanted to give you some nostalgia on this show. Hence, Frosted Tips, the best era in the world.
Yeah, apparently. You know what? I always did want Frosted Tips growing up, and I never did it.
I don't know if I could see you with Frosted Tips.
But everyone did it back then, and I wanted, like...
Everyone did it?
Yes, everyone did it.
I thought I and Nick Carter were the only ones that did it.
Mark McGrath.
What?
I wanted to model mine after his.
Whoa. You know where I got my Frosted Tips idea?
Who?
Aqua.
Oh.
I'm a Barbie girl. Soren. Remember the really white-haired guy that had the spikes?
I do.
Might have been a little attracted to him, but I definitely wanted his hair. And since then, I started really bleaching the crap out of my hair. And then, you know, you have to work a lot, so the root would come in, and boom, Frosted Tips were born.
And they never left in your
case. And they never left. Thanks to my mom. My mom is the type that anytime I go home to Mississippi, and she's like, you know, you need a little sun. You live in California. You're really pale. You're just the type that needs some sun. You look sick if you don't have some sun.
But then she
and
also
you need
says,
some Frosted Tips in there too.
Oh yeah, she'll always see like another singer or actor or something. She's like, oh, you know, so well, blah blah's hair. Well, you know what? You should make it more like that. Add a little blonde to your hair. It's a little too dark.
Yeah, you're just a blonde. You're a blonde. I'm like, Mom, I wasn't a blonde since I was 4 years old. Really? Yeah. And then when I turned into a teenager, got really dark, and then I joined NSYNC in 1995, and they decided, oh, we want you to be like blonde, right? No, they turned me orange. If you see the first album cover, the German album, oh yeah, for those that don't know, we're a German band.
Yeah, I think you just used sun-in for those first few years, it looks
like. It wasn't sun-in. It was legit. Went to a salon and got orange hair, and then they put a greasy comb over on it. It just like,
maybe they wanted a redhead. you know, they got a lot of brunettes. They got a curly blonde. And they're like, you know what?
Well, it wasn't a good red.
You know what? We need a redhead.
It was an orange head.
Okay. It was something.
What am I, clown? Am I here to make you laugh?
Yes.
It did make me laugh. But yeah, so we sound maybe a little weird because we are recording this on our voice note right now, because we have had a hellish of a day. All right, so yeah. On the show, I guess we buried the lead. When we announced the show last week, I said we're going to have a very special guest. If you listen to the trailer, you know that this show is all about nostalgia, bringing in our favorite boy band icons and really getting in depth and getting to know them and going back. We're also going to have great pop culture icons also, but we're kind of focusing on the boy banders right now because that's what you wanted. That's what you asked for. And our very first guest today is who you really asked for.
He's like the unicorn of boy band members.
It is. He is the unicorn. And I love that we get to see him more than anyone else.
Yeah.
What does that make us, a leprechaun?
We're unicorn wranglers.
We're unicorn hunters. Yeah. Oh. Anyway, guys, you asked, I gave it to you. Mr. JC Chazay is going to be our very first guest. Now, again, I wanted JC on here to help, you know, your life questions and, you know, give you good tips. But no one knew we were doing the show. So it's just going to be a straight on interview. But he is going to be here. Well, we already did it, but he was here. It's a great interview because, you know, one thing that I always wanted to really get in depth with that they never do, Mickey Mouse Club.
Yes. And we really go.
I know. He's like, can we talk about Mickey Mouse Club more? I'm like, well, yeah, because no one ever talks about it. The amount of people that came from the Disney Channel, especially MMC at that era, Christina Aguilera, Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake, JC Chazay,
Ryan Gosling, Kerry Russell,
Tony Luca. I mean, you name it, there was some great, great people in there. And not even to mention the people that auditioned didn't even make it. Mm-hmm. But no one really cares to talk about it. I feel like they might be embarrassed about it.
Yeah, I feel like everybody else, like who was not in Mickey Mouse Club, always talks about it. Like, oh my God, the Mickey Mouse Club. It was just the great era.
It was great.
They never talk about it.
No, I swear. I think they're embarrassed about it. And I think JC is too, because he was like, okay, let's move on. But I kept coming back to it. Because I wanted the salacious stuff that happened. Because you know, if you're a teenager working at Disney, away from your parents, I mean, you're going to get into some trouble. Mm-hmm. All right, so JC is on the show today. We're going to get to him any second now, but we just wanted to intro this because we're going to intro it every week to make it a little more semi-live.
And it'll be better quality, not on our iPhone.
I know. Since,
well, we are stranded now in Miami. We were heading back to Los Angeles today to then record, you know, in iHeart Studios as the professionals we are, but our flight was delayed on the tarmac for 3 hours with two screaming babies. So we were like, we can't torture the rest of this flight because we don't know when it's going to take off and it's going to be like a 7-hour flight. So we were the only two members of the flight.
I'm not even getting to get into how horrible flying is because this is going to be a positive show.
Yeah, so Lance will talk about this for 28 hours.
And I'm not going to do it. Just know that airlines suck. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all. And you know what? And we were the good guys that took the babies off the plane.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, people. Flight 22, whatever. Yeah. So we're still stuck in Miami. I have to get back by Friday. There's no flights. I know who the next guest is going to be, and you're going to even love it. All right, guys. Let's take a little break right now. And when we come back, we're going to have the one and only Joshua Scott Chazay, the unicorn.
That's right.
And again, follow us at Frosted Tips with Lance. DM us with all your questions, life advice. Again, we're new parents, so please give us any parenting advice you got. All right.
And you can give us your tips as well.
Yeah.
And honestly, ask tips or ask for tips or give us tips on pretty much anything. Yeah. It really runs the gamut.
Yeah. What should I put on my hot dog? I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Whatever you want.
What can I don't know.
We're here for you. It's your show.
You ask us.
We're growing old together, guys. And you newbies, too. Hi, Gen Z. We love you, too. Ooh, we're going to teach you so much. All right, we'll be back with JC Chazay.
Hey, LA.
Lance Bass here with the latest in the City of Angels.
From epic shopping to nonstop pride events, DiscoverLA.com is your gateway to everything LA. From walk-up windows and rooftop bars to year-round al fresco dining, Los Angeles is a culinary thrill ride sure to leave visitors hungry for more. From tacos to sushi, we truly have some of the best restaurants. After you get a bite to eat, get a taste for fame firsthand by attending a star ceremony on Hollywood Boulevard or a glimpse behind the scenes at world-famous studio tour. Stop and see a movie at the iconic El Capitan Theater and check out the stairs outside the Dolby Theater where all the stars walk before the Oscars. Take a hike at glamorous Griffith or stop for a boba or a draft cold brew at an outdoor cafe perfect for people watching. There are endless amounts of outdoor activities in L.A. with our beautiful weather. And, of course, Pride is celebrated every day in Los Angeles. Everyone is welcome to experience our sparkling nightlife, indulgent spas, and sensational shopping. Plan your weekend at DiscoverLA.com. It's time to leave your mark in the City of Angels. Lance Bass, signing off.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Frosted Tips, our new show, and I have my lovely co-host, my husband, Mr. Michael Turchin.
Hello there.
Which we also call Turkey Turchin.
We have.
Wait, what?
Turkey Turchin. You don't know his nickname, Turkey Turchin?
I don't.
Wow.
I never got that nickname.
I thought you knew me.
It's because his feathers get ruffled a lot. So he's like Turkey Turchin.
So you're salty? Like you're an angry person over there for these mic'd events?
I'm very angry.
You're really going to get to know the real Turkey Turchin.
You don't know the real me.
I was like, I thought you were sweet, Michael.
No.
Yeah, well, we're about to find out on this show another side of Turkey Turchin. That's right. The world, I need the world to see this, to see what I have to live with, because his public persona is just this real sweet, you know.
Very handsome, very buff.
Tell me more.
But then there's another side to him, and you're gonna see it on this show.
Yeah, the guy that like cradles the babies and puts them to bed.
Thank you, JC.
He is a good dad.
He's very perceptive.
He's an amazing dad. Amazing dad. But I wanted to bring back a show mainly because we missed it. We love talking pop culture. But we wanted to make it very, I don't know. I mean, it is a little niche out there because I wanted a show that really brought us back to feeling that nostalgia. Because I think especially this day and age, people need to escape, you know, to somewhere because, you know, life gets hard, especially the older you get. Well, we're all, unfortunately, middle-aged. It's so weird that we're middle-aged.
It's actually pretty. So I had a very strange conversation with someone like 2 or 3 days ago. And I was like, you realize like this is the time frame where people start talking about like
you're probably 5 years from a midlife crisis.
Well, I think I've been past that.
Well, Lance 3 years ago.
You know what I mean?
That's been Lance the last 12 years I've known.
When you're like 20 years old, though, you're thinking that's so far away.
Yeah.
And now you're like, I'm kind of knocking on the door.
Yeah. Well, I just
Am I going crazy now?
I remember when my parents turned 40, right? And that was over the hill, right? You get the cake and all that. And I just remember thinking how old that was.
Hey, easy, easy.
But now
easy.
I'm like, that is not old at all.
What's wrong with you, bro?
Guys, I still think that's pretty old. I'm still in my 30s. So don't lump me in with this middle
age. You're 36, by the way. Crap. So you're really knocking
on that 35, over the hill. I'm 35,
thank you. 35. For another week.
Nope. Can't do math either.
January 14th?
Is that in a week?
Yeah, because today is January 9th.
Oh, crap.
Remember?
It's less than a week.
This is how podcasts work. You record it ahead of time.
You know what?
Good Lord.
Way to humiliate me.
Run the magic, Turkey.
You just
run
did
the
some
magic.
Time travel in the wrong direction. I don't know what's going on
God
right now.
Damn
I thought
it
today was today, but today is not today.
Well, guess what? I'm still 35. I don't care.
Welcome to the year 2023.
Wow, it's amazing.
Oh,
it's so much
I guess we should.
It doesn't feel like 23.
God, I guess that's to say, welcome to the show, JC Shazay.
Thank you.
For those that didn't know who we were
Feels
talking to.
Feels like it's another day.
Oh, I think he's having that midlife crisis.
Uh-oh. That coffee's really kicking in for
Might be going through a crisis.
But
I'm on the Frosted Tip Show.
But I perpetually felt like
loud?
I was 23
I'm just curious.
Years old.
Is that too loud?
No.
No,
okay.
You're never too loud.
Can you speak up?
But I always thought I felt 23 pretty much my whole life until I had kids. And now I'm like, oh, crap. Now I got a really adult. And now I feel like I'm really an adult now.
Yeah.
Maybe because I don't sleep.
Maybe that's why I didn't have kids.
Yeah. Maybe you have something.
I'm still
like
that. A child, please.
Just a baby.
All right, JC. When we told people that we were coming out with a new podcast, mm-hmm. and this show is all about that nostalgia, and it's really geared on the boy band world. Every episode, we're going to have a iconic boy band member sitting in this chair and just kind of catching up, finding out all about you.
So I'm the George Washington of this.
You are the George
you
Washington.
Are. Right.
Because
the
when,
first one.
When it leaked that we were doing this, 90% of the fans out there were like, JC has to be your first guest. JC has to be your first guest. I'm like, well, okay, JC will be my first guest.
That's an easy call for you.
Yeah. Because you are.
You didn't have to pull any kind of maneuvers. You didn't have to pull quote unquote any strings. You didn't pull any strings.
It's a good.
You just made a phone call.
Those are nice. Because booking shows like this is hard.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Thanks, iHeart. Because I've lost Nick Lachey's number, so if anyone... but, you know, you are the unicorn to the fans, because you don't do many interviews. You're a very private person.
I do. I've done your interview before.
Yeah, with me, but that doesn't count.
Yeah, you're very elusive.
You know, I mean...
Am I?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, the amount of... Whenever I go, like, on an Instagram Live, I just... Random people ask me questions about you. I'm, like, talking about, like, my dogs or, like, my hair or, I don't know, something that nobody wants to talk about. And they're like, have you seen JC?
Mm-hmm.
And like, I just told them all, you live in a tree in our backyard.
Yeah.
And they still, like, this was like a couple years ago. And they're like, is he still in the tree?
Yeah, it's been
like,
a running joke that you live there. In a tree in our backyard.
I would.
We have a nice tree back there.
It's got all the little lanterns on it. And
it
I'm sure, is it Christmassy, right? Oh, wait. Oh. You took down
Christmassy.
Your decorations?
Not the tree in the back. I can't get back there.
Okay.
No, but we have like 30 Christmas trees at home. So
yeah, did you take them down yet? It's January, remember?
Not yet. They stay up for a good month.
I mean, there's still more holidays.
Okay.
My birthday.
Well, Easter's coming up, so they'll just be Easter trees.
Okay.
Meow. Mm. I know. But I'm glad that you did this because the fans will be very, very excited to hear from you. I feel like we know a lot about you.
So ask me something unimportant.
Unimportant.
That's thrilling to listen to.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's pretty much what we all talk about on the show. It's just the most unimportant things ever. But I do feel like I know so much about you, but so many years have passed that I kind of forget a lot of the things.
Okay.
So let's start from the beginning. You are from Bowie, Maryland.
Maryland, yeah.
Okay.
Multiple cities
multiple
in that
cities.
Area.
Well, where were you born? What city do you
I was
play?
Born in Washington, D.C., but
oh, okay.
Yeah, but then I grew up in Maryland.
All right, gotcha. Did you know at an early age that you wanted to go into entertainment? Like, were you always that talented kid in school doing all the plays? And
No. I was... I think my grown-up personality matches my young personality, believe it or not.
Too cool for school.
No, not too cool for school at all. Just kind of, for lack of a better word, it's I don't know if shy is the right word, but it's close to shy.
Introverted?
Introverted is a better description.
Hermit-like?
Would you say? And
I'm, I get out there in the world, man. I just pick my battles, okay?
I mean, it is true. All the fans are always like, we never see him, but I see you a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you're at the house a lot. You come to the bars a lot with us. So, like, it's really weird that I'm like, well, if you just look
but
at
I'm not
Instagram,
doing it. Yeah, but that's I think maybe that would be the perception, right? Because I'm not maybe as invested in publicizing my life. It doesn't mean I don't have a life. It just means that I'm more engaged in the moment and the people that I'm with than making sure everyone else knows who I'm with and what I'm doing.
Yeah. So it's like the opposite of what an entertainer usually thinks.
Well,
look at me. Look at me.
It depends on the entertainer. You know, I think there are plenty of people who don't necessarily publicize every aspect of their lives and they just focus on who they are as people and their craft.
Yeah. So. Who, speaking of entertainers, you know, a lot of people always focus on the negative of everything, right? And, you know, I wanted to make this show very positive because we all hear the drama from every single person out there, but
that's not fun.
It's not. Well, yeah. I mean, drama is fun.
Listen, I agree.
And we're going to have some drama on this show, but you know, I like to show a good light on people too. So, you know, of all the entertainers that you've been able to work with, you know, mingle with, who would you say are like your top three that are like, wow, that's a good person right there?
Boy,
I know you've been hanging out. I mean, I saw you with Gary Barlow the last couple of years. He seems like a cool dude.
He's great. Mark's great. I've spent some time with Mark actually in the studio. That was a while back, though. That was just before the world shut down. I mean, look, that's like a crazy question because I feel very fortunate in the fact that I think most of the people that we've met, very rarely do you meet someone kind of crappy or shady. Yeah. Like the people that we've met along the way, for the most part, have been very kind and very generous with us and outgoing. And maybe it's because, you know, we appeal to something in them. But I feel like most of the interactions that we've had with people that others would consider stars or something have been... I've had positive experiences with, you know, I would say almost all of them, you know. So, again, I know it's a boring answer, so it's to say to lay, you know, one is it's difficult, right? Because we've met a lot of people.
Yeah. So. Going back to little Joshua Scott Shazay, what music did you listen to as a kid?
It was very much a mishmash of things. Like, you know, again, we talked about our grownness and being knocking on the door of middle age. And so we went through all the phases of how, sorry, I'm gonna throw these off. I don't know why they're still on. They're prescription. That's why I need them. Cause you're a little blurry now.
He's wearing sunglasses in the room, by the way.
Yeah.
He's a big star.
Yeah. But if I don't wear them, you have,
I look much better.
You have like a 1970s filter right now.
I got that Barbara Walters filter.
You kind of do right now. The first piece of music I ever owned, it was a gift and it was like a Christmas gift, and that was the Michael Jackson's Thriller album.
Well, that's a good way to start.
And that was a record. And then I went from playing that Fisher Price, I played it on my little Fisher Price kids record player, and I had that, and I had a book that had a record and it was called Peter and the Wolf. And so I would listen to the music of Peter and the Wolf and I would turn the page and listen to the story, and then I would play Thriller. And then it went to cassettes, and my first cassette was Paul Simon, Graceland, and then my second cassette was the Beastie Boys. So they're very different.
Yeah.
And then when I got my first CD player, the first CD I ever owned was Led Zeppelin. The second CD I ever owned was MC Hammer. So you can see the variety that takes place.
The 90s were very eclectic.
Well, so yeah, but these are all in the 80s. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like I'm even that much older than you, Lance.
That's right. I
take
forgot
that
you're
you.
So much older than me.
Was that a dig?
It was just a baby.
Was that a subtle dig?
No, that's he's lucky.
No, I'm talking about the 90s. You set him up for that.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, set him up for that question. So what was the first concert you went to?
Believe it or not, the first live show I ever went to that wasn't church was En Vogue. And yeah, they were the first thing I saw. And then my second concert was my first concert without a guardian.
Oh.
And that was the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I'm like, I'm all over the place. I'm a hot mess.
Did you ever, looking at them on stage, did you ever think, you know what? I want to be on that stage one day.
By the time I saw En Vogue, I was working on my first, practicing for my first talent show.
Oh, yeah?
So that's around the time, like...
How old were you?
Realistically, I can't even remember. It's like not quite a teenager, you know, a little younger than a teenager.
Not a girl, not yet a woman.
Yeah, something like that, basically.
Okay.
That around that time is kind of where I would hum songs to myself. And one of my friends actually picked up on it. He's like, "You sing good, man." I was like, "Nah," because I was more comfortable like dancing and copying the videos that I would watch on MTV and stuff like that. And I didn't feel comfortable singing in front of people, but I didn't realize I was actually doing it at first. And then he kind of busted me on it. He was like, "Bro, you sound pretty good." I was like, and you kind of zip it up a little bit. And then another time he noticed me singing again. He's like, "That's pretty good." And he's like, "Could you sing this?" And, you know, I try and sing along with it. And then when we did our talent show for dancing and we won, we entered in another one. And he was like, "I dare you to sing." And so I ended up doing it and I ended up winning. And that's when it was kind of like, wait a minute, you know, this is kind of crazy. And, you know, the rest of the story I feel like I've told before. I might have even told it to you in the last time.
Like I think I've probably forgotten because I'm way too old now.
Yeah. So it's like, that's another thing, I have
no memory anymore of anything.
But that's kind of how it all unraveled.
Yeah. And then now, because coming from Mississippi, we never had dreams. I saw concerts, but there was never one time where I was like, I'm going
to
be on that
we
stage.
We never had dreams. When we go to sleep at night,
it's this black
darkness. It's just darkness.
This is terrible.
I was just trying to find a nice girl to get, settle down
for
with.
For yourself, there are other people in Mississippi who probably have dreams.
Did not. I didn't know it was possible.
MISSISSIPPI. You keep dreaming. Seriously, do not listen to that nonsense.
If you live in Mississippi, just give up. Just give up, guys.
That is not nice.
Headache. Look, if I can do something, then you can definitely.
I mean, he has a point.
Come on. So once you realize, okay, well, I'm good at this. I can do this. How far was that before you auditioned for the Mickey Mouse Club? And how did that audition come about? Because it doesn't seem to me that you'd be the type of person that would see this in a newspaper and be like, "Hey, I'm going to go audition for Mickey Mouse Club."
So strangely enough, I didn't necessarily think I was good enough. I just enjoyed it. Yeah. And that was kind of like more the thing. I was having fun with my friends. We were having fun doing it. Winning was great. I would have probably been there if we lost. I don't know if they would have been there if we lost, but I would have been there if we lost because it was just fun. And so after I ended up winning the singing bit and my family kind of, saw an article. My mother actually was reading the paper because they had papers back then.
Oh, yeah. Heard of those.
Yeah. So they would come every morning and they would give you facts about the world and what's going on in your city and things like that. And so she came across a random article and it said that Disney was holding open call auditions for the movie Newsies.
Yes, I was going to bring that up because I did hear that.
So they had an open call for the movie Newsies, and my mom was like, "They need people who can sing and dance, honey. You just won this thing. Would you want to go?" And I was like, "Yeah, it's great." She goes, "Okay, but it's on a school day, so we're going to have to get up early, go into D.C. It's in Washington, D.C., this audition, so, you're not going to be in school." And I was like, "Yeah, gee, that sucks." You know what I mean? It's like, of course, you go. So we ended up going there, and they said, they gave the age range for the characters that they were casting, and they said I was either too young or too old for the part that they were casting for that day, because they had a full cast of characters.
Do you remember which part it was? Newsies was one of my favorite musicals.
Well, Christian Bale, right? Like, kind of his one of the early things he did. So
Santa Fe.
Yeah, so it was like, But they said, listen, you're too old or too young for this. But next door, they're doing an audition for a revised version of the Mickey Mouse Club. It's, you know, it's been out for a couple seasons now, and they're casting it next door. And the only one I knew about was the 50s one, right? And they had one in the 70s, and I didn't know that.
Every 20 years, they would like kind of bring it back, which I think they need to bring it back now.
They actually, they did like an internet version recently.
Yeah, but that was just like way too new agey. Like, bring back the classic Mickey Mouse Club with a great new set. I mean, because look at the amount of talent that came out of all of those versions from Annette Fettuccello.
Did you just try and call her Fettuccini? Come on. You're having trouble speaking today, and they gave you a microphone?
I told you it's been a while since I've been in front of this mic.
What is going on?
But ever, I mean, nothing compared to y'all.
Annette Fettuccini.
Annette Fettuccini.
She's great.
God rest her soul.
Love her work.
Your class was insane. I mean, the amount of people that came out of MMC, the new Mickey Mouse Club.
Right.
I mean, you have Kerry Russell, you have you have Justin, Christina, Brittany, Ryan Gosling. Did you know... And I kind of want to know what it was like being a teenager on this huge hit show away from your family, probably, right? You weren't, your parents didn't move to Orlando.
Well,
did
there's a lot that went into it.
Yeah.
So
I want to know the salacious stuff. No, what happened? Was everyone like dating everyone, losing the virginity to everyone?
Who was a bitch?
No.
Just kidding.
You know, we were too young. We were like, we were just so hungry. Mm. And honestly, we were amazed that people would let us do this. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, you want to sing and dance? Like, we're gonna let you do it all day. You know, you're going to have to go to school, but then you're going to get to play with some of the most talented people that you've ever encountered all day. And then they're going to be your friends, and you're going to get to hang out with them after work. And then, you know, so it was, look, it was a real blessing. I look back at that stuff finally. And in the moment, you just think it's fun. And it's interesting because one of the stage managers, Dave, used to always say, just don't forget any of this. You don't realize how special this is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and the acting coach, this guy's name was Gary Spatz. And, you know, because we would always do these comedy sketches and you'd have to memorize these lines. And so, you know, you're working with 11-year-olds and 12-year-olds to up to 15, 16-year-olds. And, you know, they're trying to get you to be comfortable, you know, memorizing lines. And so we would work with this acting coach. And, you know, he would always, you know, at the beginning or at the end of the class, just go, hey, you know, hey, man, just remember, like, have fun out there. And, you know, just remember how lucky you are. This is a great thing. And
was that? You played a character, Wipeout?
Yeah, I was Wipeout.
Give us a little Wipeout. Can you still do
it? No. I mean, I probably sound like him anyway. I'm such a bro. So,
but he was more like what California Surfer did. What was your first solo you got on MMC?
I don't remember the first solo I got. I remember the first video I got. I was like, oh. I'm making a video like MTV, but not
That's
even,
right.
You know what I mean? So it was a song by a band called Nelson, which were twins.
Oh, yeah. The Nelson twins.
Yeah. And the song was called Love and Affection.
Didn't Transcon manage them eventually? Or
I don't know.
I think
about
they signed
that
with
part
our label.
Yeah. So that was my first kind of like moment where I was like, I just made a video. And I had the cast member, Mylin, she was the love interest, and we told a love story in our video.
Ooh.
And so, you know, that was very mature of me.
Especially for Disney.
Yeah.
Whoa. Crazy. Yeah. I mean, but you were high school students. I know
eventually.
Your school went through Dr. Phillips, right?
Well, originally I was at Bowie High.
Okay.
And then I was spending so much time in Florida that I got transferred to Dr. Phillips.
And did they do school on set, or did you actually get to go to the actual high school?
Both. Okay. So the majority of it was on set, but on site, what they would do is they would take the curriculum from the school. They had a group of teachers from a company. I mean, am I spitting out this like boring stuff? But it was like they had basically a company called On Location Education that had a group of teachers that they brought in that were specialists, and they would teach the curriculum from our schools. We would have to then learn the curriculum, do all the work, take the tests, and then send it back to the school so they could, inputted as, you know, us taking those classes and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. Is that where you met Joey? Because I know Joey went to Dr. Phillips also. Joey, I know he would, actually, like, stalk y'all at MMC.
Bro, are you kidding me? Are you asking me a Joey story right now? My God.
Because I know I've seen
it. You always find his way in. This is for the fans. This is for the fans.
It's all for the fans.
Why don't you tell the story? No.
Because I know Joey was in the audience a lot. So I figured he was just a stalker of MMC. No,
so Joey was actually one of the first people I met when I moved to Florida, period. Oh, yeah. Like in my first year in the Mouse Club, I was moving into my little apartment where a few of the other members had gotten apartments as well. And he was like in the... outside somewhere, and
in
I
the
was
parking lot, yeah, just I was lingering,
but I guess he was like walking to the about right. I don't know if he was like walking to the pool or something, because it was like a, you know, a whole thing, and it had a pool area, and in the he saw me unloading my car or something. We were both the same age, I guess. He recognized, he's like, hey, you need some help? And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm just moving in. He's like, I'm Joey. And so he actually became one of my first friends ever before anyone when I moved to Florida. Yeah,
I never knew that story.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So he was like swim fan.
He's a very swim fan, yeah.
He was a very successful stalker.
He was out there in that parking
stalker.
Lot for like 2 days.
He proves it, guys. If you stalk hard enough, your dreams can come true, even if you're from Mississippi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dream big.
Who on the show got in the most trouble? Like, who was the stinker?
That's two different questions, actually.
Yeah. Well, then answer both. Which one's got in most trouble?
Look, man, again, I think everybody was pretty dialed in. Everybody was more focused on getting a song or getting a sketch. Like, everybody was trying to, like, really get it, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody wanted their shine.
Was it competitive, like Dance Moms?
It wasn't. Oh, I bet. It wasn't that bad. You know what? To be honest with you, the stuff I hear in retrospect, it sounded like the parent room was far more competitive than the kids.
I mean.
And then this is later in life. Like, my parents would be like, they would sit in a green room. They would have, like, the TV, and the parents would kind of be talking about the other kids. And I was like, really? I was like, we were cool, man. We just wanted to, you know, sing our songs and get in front of the audience and try and show how we do, you know?
See, that's the show I would have watched, because Dance Moms, it was brilliant.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's some crazy parents out there, and I could imagine. Yeah.
All of them.
I always imagine, too, because I loved Kids Incorporated, which was a little before MMC. I guess it still was going on at the same time.
They aired it right before us.
Right, yeah. So I remember Kids Incorporated, and of course, you know, Fergie, Mario Lopez, I mean, Martika.
We worked with all those guys, right? Because I cut the songs for Fergie when she was in Wild Orchid.
Exactly. Wild Orchid.
And then, you know, when I ended up doing Dance Crew, Mario was the host there. And so I was like, hey, Kids Incorporated, Mouse Club, man. Right. I came on a half hour after you, bro.
See, I just imagined it was always like Kids Inc. versus MMC, and y'all always kind of like fought like the Jets and the Sharks.
I think they were around before we were, but I don't know, because I came in season four. I wasn't even in season one. You know?
Yeah, see, my generation was like The Party.
Yeah, you know? That's season, they made that group in season three, I think.
Yeah, Tiffany, Chase. Aww. The good old days. See, this is bringing back some really good fun times.
Is this whole thing going to be about the Mouse Club?
We're going to. I wanted to do a lot of, because no one ever talks about it. Like, no one. Brittany, Christina, Justin. Like, no one ever
Here's
talks
a full
about
circle
it,
so. Moment for you, by the way. Uh-huh. So, two full circle moments when it comes to the Mouse Club, and then we'll drop it. Mm. So, my first live concert, as I told you, was in Vogue. Mm. Rona Bennett, who I was on the Mouse Club with and joined the same year she joined, is now a touring member.
Oh, really?
Of En Vogue.
I didn't know she joined En Vogue.
And she's been doing it for years, and she crushes it. Like, first of all, who doesn't love En Vogue? And then when she ended up gigging with them and becoming like, she's solidified. Like, she's in the band. Like, she's a band member, and they still tour like crazy, and they sing the house down. And it's amazing for me to think, like, okay, when I was a kid, this is the first thing that I saw live that was like blew my mind, and now she's doing that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? She's part of that.
That is a nice full circle.
I was like, that's a great full circle.
That is.
And it turns out the other full circle is obviously Richard Marx, right? Mm-hmm. So the song that I sang at my Mouse Club audition was Richard Marx, Right Here Waiting For You, because that's what I won the talent show with, right? Yeah. Like, they asked me to go up there and sing, and so I was like, okay, and I had to sing what I like heard in the car, and that song was popular at the time, and so I ended up getting I look at it as, hey, I got the job because of that song, you know. Mm-hmm. And then later in life we end up doing Promise with Richard,
yeah, And y'all are really good friends to this day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Look, he's amazing. Yeah. And but that was, again, another kind of full circle moment that actually tied in all of them, right? Because mm-hmm. it was like the first audition I ever did, the first thing I ever sang in public, like as a for a talent show. And then it got me the job for Disney. And then we ended up working on it in NSYNC. So he's been a common thread through all of that
stuff. Yeah, that's so great. Yeah.
Hey, L.A., Lance Bass here with the latest in the City of Angels. From epic shopping to nonstop pride events, DiscoverLA.com is your gateway to everything L.A. From walk-up windows and rooftop bars to year-round alfresco dining, Los Angeles is a culinary thrill ride sure to leave visitors hungry for more. From tacos to sushi, we truly have some of the best restaurants. After you get a bite to eat, get a taste for fame firsthand by attending a star ceremony on Hollywood Boulevard or a glimpse behind the scenes at World Famous Studio Tour. Stop and see a movie at the iconic El Capitan Theater and check out the stairs outside the Dolby Theater where all the stars walk before the Oscars. Take a hike at glamorous Griffith or stop for a boba or a draft cold brew at an outdoor cafe perfect for people watching. There are endless amounts of outdoor activities in L.A. with our beautiful weather. And, of course, Pride is celebrated every day in Los Angeles. Everyone is welcome to experience our sparkling nightlife, indulgent spas, and sensational shopping. Plan your weekend at DiscoverLA.com. It's time to leave your mark in the City of Angels. Lance Bass, signing off.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, so after the show is over, you went to, I feel like you were doing something with Justin, right? In Nashville? Were y'all doing like a project together?
Yeah. So we, it's funny, Justin and I talked about this Saturday night.
Yeah. Because I never even knew what this project was. I just know when Chris called Justin, he was like, well, yeah, group sounds great, but like, can JC be in it too? We're working on something together.
It was different. It was, everybody remembers it a little different. Yeah. I had been in LA recording and working with some of the people that I met at Mouse Club, like the musical supervisor. I went out and worked with him a little bit and sang on some demos and things like that. And then, but it was right before it was time for me to start school, right? Because I was like, okay, I'm 18. I got to, you know, start thinking about college and things like that. So I was driving back across the country and I stopped in Nashville to work with Robin, mm-hmm. who was the vocal coach on the Mouse Club.
Robin Wiley, best vocal coach ever.
So who ended up, you know, doing some arranging for us and really helped us harness our sound. Mm-hmm. But it started with her. I was like, I stopped in and she's like, well, we should get you in the studio. We should write some stuff, you know? And I was like, oh, cool. And she's like, yeah, Justin's, you know, I've been working with Justin as well. Y'all should hang out. And I was like, yeah, let's. Because
y'all had been, even though you were older than Justin, y'all were pretty close.
Well, because
back in Orlando,
when you have a common language, there is something that overrides all of other things. A lot of things, a lot of differences disappear when you're passionate about something and you can focus on that one thing, and it makes that bond even stronger. So we recognized, you know, early on, even doing the Mouse Club, that he was a little bit more mature and I was probably a little bit more immature.
So right on the same level.
So, but when we got to Nashville, I started writing songs with Robin, and he was coming from Memphis into Nashville and doing recording sessions with Robin because he wanted to get signed, right? And I was looking to make music because I wanted to eventually get signed, but I had two things going on. I was like, okay, I got to go to college and I'm going to maybe go for music, maybe go for something else. I was thinking about a lot of things, but I always loved music. And Robin was like, you'll regret it if you don't at least, you know, do what you love. So let's just make some music. And so we started doing that. And when Justin popped in to work on his song, we started working on each other's songs. And next thing you know, we started enjoying it. So then he's like, come back to Memphis. Don't go home yet. Like, you know, it wasn't time for school to start. So then I ended up going back to Memphis. And, you know, his mom and his dad, like, welcomed me, gave me a room to crash in. And next thing you know, we're plotting and making music together and making demos. And then I was like, all right, here's the plan. You know, I'm going to go back to Maryland and I'm going to start at my school thing. And then like every month or every other month, we'll come back down and we'll start continue to work on each other's music and make some music because we were having fun. And as soon as I got home, basically from that trip, I left, he called me up and he goes, so I have another thing to run by you. I just got this call from this guy, Chris, and he said that, you know, there's a label and they want a boy band. And he was like, dude.
So there was no term back then either. Yeah. You didn't know what a boy band was.
So he's like, they're asking me to do it. But I was like, he's like, do you want to do it? We could do it together. And I was like, I mean, look, I'm willing to check it out. Let's go check it out. And that's how I ended up getting involved.
Yeah.
He was like, let's go down there and see what it's about.
And long story short, because I know most people listening to this will know the story of NSYNC, but for you newbies out there, Chris wanted to put, well, kind of got upset he didn't get to audition for the Backstreet Boys because he went to school with Howie D. So he went to Transcon, which was Lou Pearlman, and said, hey, if I put a group together, will you support us? And so that's when he called Justin, and then he was with you. Then y'all ran into Joey, I think, at 8 Tracks, maybe at Pleasure Island.
It was at Pleasure Island.
Yeah.
In the parking lot again.
Right.
He just happened to be in the parking lot.
He was actually, he's walking around in Pleasure Island. He was allowed in.
And it just kept popping up everywhere you went.
No, it was amazing, you know, because it was like, I had been there a day. You know what I mean? Like, I was back in, like, Florida, like, maybe a day or two, and he looked at me like, what are you doing in Florida? I thought you left. Like, the Mouse Club's over, da-da-da. I go, yeah, I moved away. I said, but we're putting together a band. He's like, oh, I'm in a band. And I was like, our band's going to be better.
Is that the one he was with, Luis Fonsi?
Yeah. So
what are they called? Something
guys.
Yeah.
The big guys or something.
Big guys.
Something like that. And
they were horrible.
No, they weren't.
Horrible.
They were just doo-wop.
Just kidding, I never heard them.
So he was in the band with them, and we were like, well, you know, we're calling all of the favors in. And I was like, we've got a guy, you know, we're calling in, like, we got Robin coming down to help us work on our sound. We're working with a choreographer, Miles, that used to do the, we're calling in all the Mouse Club people. We're going to put a demo together. And he's like, we're like, you know, we need another voice, man. We need, he's like,
y'all were looking for a bass singer still.
At the time, we were like, you know what? We all sing, you know, fairly high, you know? Look, that makes you, you know, irreplaceable, man. But, long story longer.
Yeah. And there you go. So yeah, that's how we all got together. And then I knew Justin through a vocal coach.
Correct.
And recommended me a bass singer to come down. Still don't know why y'all chose me, but here I am because I did not know how to dance at all.
They needed another blonde guy. And you're like, oh, he's blonde.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I didn't have the frosted tips then.
But you were still blonde.
It was more
you
orange.
You had to balance it out.
Oh, no, I had orange hair then.
Well, they needed a redhead.
Thanks to whoever did my hair when I first joined NSYNC.
Yeah.
Because they were like, oh, you need to be more blonde. And then it just turned orange. And it was like a real greasy comb over. It was not pretty.
Hey, man.
I was going through my, you know, awkward teenage years.
Yeah.
That was fun.
And look at you now.
And look at me now.
You've evolved so much.
Still
you
awkward.
You still have the exact same bleached comb over as we speak.
I'm still really uncomfortable around you. Cool.
So those, the first year that we were together, you know, I didn't know what was going on. Seriously. I was 16 years old. Y'all had been doing this for a while. So I didn't know what the future of the group was. I know that, you know, there were high hopes we would get a record deal, right? That didn't happen. It took us a little bit.
But I think any creative business, mm-hmm. and this is what you learn through life, right? Through the long lens, mm-hmm. you hear no a lot more than you hear yes
99%.
For a long time. You only get yes to death after everybody sees you get that win.
Yeah.
You get a win, and all of a sudden the yes has come too much, right? Mm-hmm. People yes you to the point where it's not healthy. Yeah. So you know it's but. Before that real moment, everyone says no. Because, mm-hmm. you know, it's a bet. It's a gamble. You know, everyone kind of fears the unknown unless they feel like it is a sure thing. And what is a sure thing, right?
Yeah.
You have to have an opinion about it. It's not math. Like, for some people, it might be, but it is about feel, and humans feel.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, music and moments. Their feelings, they make no sense really.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's a zeitgeist and it's a movement. And it's like, what is that? Why? Mm-hmm. Why? Why are bell bottoms cool in the 70s and not the 80s?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They
like,
now,
why
apparently.
Do people like guitar based stuff and want for one decade and then like 808s the next?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, there's no rhyme or reason. It's just a feel.
Yeah.
And people don't want to gamble, they want a sure thing. So that's why you have to appreciate the people who take risks based on their inner truth. Like, you have to be thankful for those people,
yeah.
because they're the ones that are innovating, yeah. instead of just playing it safe to the status quo.
100%. And, you know, something that I didn't think would ever happen to us. And again, 16 years old, I didn't know anything about the music industry, but I had no idea that we would even be able to sign to a German label. One, I didn't know that they even had English-speaking music
yeah.
on the radio.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, you know, we've exhausted all the labels in America. No one wanted to sign us, right? No one's going to listen to that stuff. Then all of a sudden, Munich, Germany calls, and they're like, no, we love groups like this, and we want to sign you. And the next week, we were basically on a plane to Germany.
Yeah.
What was that like for you? Was that a surprise to you, or were you like, oh, yeah, that's normal?
I was in the same boat as everybody else. Like, I had done – the only thing I had done before that – and in my first trip to Europe was a USO tour. So in the Mouse Club, we did some USO performances for troops. But look, it was just a matter of having outreach, right? Like, you know, so I had been to Germany before that. And but when I went, and there was still a bit of it, you know, there years later, because I would say like 4 or 5 years passed by between then and the last time I was there, it was like, when I was there, it wasn't really pop music. It was like pure techno.
Yeah, techno.
It was very techno. Mm-hmm. And look, you hear it in our very first record. We're mm-hmm. working with European producers, and we're trying to put our American sound and mix it with the European mm-hmm. sound.
The riddle.
What's yeah. the riddle of it?
And that it was an experiment, right? We were trying yeah. things, because it was like, we were so excited to be in the mix, right? We were like, oh, somebody's giving us a chance. And then you get taken to a place that is so different from yours, and all you want to do is dive headfirst into it. You're like, I want all of this. You're so, like, what is this music you're listening to? And some of it you loved and some of it you hated, but you wanted to know more, because it's like, it's new information. It's not the same thing. So when you go home, you're like, I got the new. Mm-hmm. Like, we would come back to Florida, remember, and we had just, like, sold out an arena or something, and we'd be like, there were 30,000 people, yeah. and they would go, what are you talking about?
It's true.
I don't even know your last name. Like, you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
My friends were still in high school, and I come back and I'm like, I swear to God, there's like 2,000 people chasing our buses everywhere. They're like, yeah, sure.
We are huge in Germany.
Sure.
Huge. You don't even
huge
get it.
Huge.
Huge.
But it was great. Like, it taught us.
You know what? I'm so glad we started there, because we weren't ready yet. We weren't ready. We didn't really find our complete sound yet. We were toying around. Obviously, we were influenced by Boyz II Men and a lot of R&B, right? So we did a lot of acapella. But when we started, when we were able to afford actual tracks,
yeah,
we were toying around with all kinds of stuff. And yes, living in a foreign country, we were still trying to find ourselves. But we were so lucky to have been in this moment of time to have found the Dennis Pop, Max Martin of it all in Sweden.
Yeah.
So we would record in Sweden. That's where our first hits were recorded. And that was the Sharon Studios. Mm-hmm. Dennis Pop, you know, unfortunately passed away not too many years after we recorded those first songs. But Max Martin kind of took this and ran with it and still to this day writes some bops. When we met with Dennis and Max and everyone there in Sweden, did you know how much of a powerhouse they would be? And did you learn a lot as a writer yourself? Did you get to learn anything from the Sharon guys?
You know, you'd never know. You're just excited. Again, it's instincts. Everything is instincts. And let me think. Being there, there was just an energy while we were there. And so you could feel that. Now, you don't know how people are going to accept it, but you know that you like what you're doing. That's kind of the best you can do. You know, you just have to try. You just have to trust your instincts and try. And if you don't like it, leave it alone, man. And if you like it, go for it.
Yeah. I remember they would play us some songs, you know, for the next album or whatever. And there was one song they played us. It was Baby When the Lights Go Out. When the Lights. And I was like, you know, it's a good song, but we ended up passing on it. Thank goodness, because I think that's when we got Bye Bye Bye.
Yeah.
Because we passed on that song. Yeah. So like, well, it's good to say no.
I did like that song, though.
But you know the story behind that. It was a song. Bye 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 wasn't originally for us.
Was it for Backstreet?
No.
Who was it for?
It was for 5.
So we swapped songs?
We swapped songs. I think that's the story that Christian told me.
Okay.
I could be remembering it wrong, but I feel like he told me years ago, he's like, you know, that was originally for another pop band. Mm-hmm. It was a UK band and they passed on it. And so we pitched it to you. And like the first time we heard it, like, you know, everybody was like, yeah, okay, we're recording that. You know,
it's crazy to think of all the different artists that could have sung some of our most famous songs out there, right? I wish there was an album that we could put all these artists and be like, well, this was originally pitched to them, but now they record it.
Oh, yeah, there's so many,
Think about songs. All the actors that pass on movie roles, you know? It's like,
Who was that just turned down the biggest payday ever? Matt Damon for
Avatar.
Avatar.
Because Avatar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was like Baby One More Time was for TLC originally.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that was supposed to be a TLC
jam.
Oh, my
gosh. I mean, you are an incredible writer right now. Let's go for people out there that are really wanting to get in the business and they're writers out there. Give us some tips. Here we go into our Frosted Tips segment. Ready? Okay. Give us some Frosted Tips on maybe 3 on how you write. What's the process? Like, what do you...
Okay, so first,
there is no process.
I crawl into the fetal position.
Okay. Yes. I'm writing this down. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So. I cry.
Oh, so I'm a writer?
You wrote.
Yeah. I write every day.
And then I cry some more. And then I blow my nose. And then I cry some more.
Yeah. Oh, I feel it.
Process done.
Well,
good. That's like Gen Z. Gen Z likes to, you know, they like to feel the emotion in everything.
There's no one way to do it. You know, again, and I've said this already like 1,000 times on our conversation. And it's actually something that Justin and I were speaking about. Again, I told you the other night, it's like everything it's about instincts, and your instincts are basically a barometer. I think these are just thoughts and opinions. But it's a barometer for truth. What rings true to you? What is ringing that thing inside of you? And why would it ring? Because it feels truthful to you. So when you hear a song, you're like, "Oh, I feel that. They must have really felt that," you know, and or something like it. You can feel it, and it's that to me is everything. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that, like, where you start, right? It doesn't matter if you start with a lyric or you start with a melody or you start with a drum pattern or you start with a guitar, whatever you start with. What matters is when you're listening to it and while it's happening, does it feel true?
Do you like to start with a melody or a lyric?
Lance, you're not listening to me.
It's a feeling, okay?
I know it's a feeling, but like with me, it's like, it's always a title. I mean, I don't write music that much at all, but like when it comes to TV and film, it always starts with a title for me. And then I just, this title comes and then I just create this whole world around it.
So again, I think every song has its own journey. Now, some happen a lot the same and some, you know, again, depends on every writer. I'd say every writer's process is different. My process is different almost every time.
You have a huge note section.
I do have a crazy amount of voice memos and notes.
Yep.
But, you know, it also comes from a conversation. Like, we could probably talk. Here's an exercise that I've done with other writers in the past. I'll just go, yo, man, or whoa, man, or they.
Whoa, man.
I would say, we have to write something today. What's going on in your life? Would you like to know what's going on in mine? Let's throw up. You know, it's like, let's just put it all out there. And when something, when that bell goes off, we'll know it. We'll start, you'll start to feel the conversation bounce faster and faster and faster and faster. And so that's one process, right? To just get a conversation going. Another process is to sit down with an instrument and to noodle around until something starts to feel like it's coming together. But again, it's different every time. You know what I mean? So
yeah. All right, let's take a little break right here. When we come back, we're going to get to some fun things.
No.
Because Turkey Turchin has the fan questions.
Yeah, so yeah, many.
I'm sure this will be. I think there's some funny ones on there. So we'll be right back with Frosted Tips.
Hey, L.A., Lance Bass here with the latest in the City of Angels. From epic shopping to nonstop pride events, DiscoverLA.com is your gateway to everything L.A. From walk-up windows and rooftop bars to year-round alfresco dining, Los Angeles is a culinary thrill ride sure to leave visitors hungry for more. From tacos to sushi, we truly have some of the best restaurants. After you get a bite to eat, get a taste for fame firsthand by attending a star ceremony on Hollywood Boulevard or a glimpse behind the scenes at world-famous studio tour. Stop and see a movie at the iconic El Capitan Theater and check out the stairs outside the Dolby Theater where all the stars walk before the Oscars. Take a hike at glamorous Griffith or stop for a boba or a draft cold brew at an outdoor cafe perfect for people watching. There are endless amounts of outdoor activities in L.A. with our beautiful weather. And, of course, Pride is celebrated every day in Los Angeles. Everyone is welcome to experience our sparkling nightlife, indulgent spas, and sensational shopping. Plan your weekend at DiscoverLA.com. It's time to leave your mark in the City of Angels. Lance Bass, signing off.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes
I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back with JC Shazay.
I'm talking all over your intro. Start again.
Okay, no, go right ahead.
No, you're talking right over
it. This is a very natural show. A natural show.
I don't feel natural.
You look very natural.
I am actually very natural. I haven't showered in weeks.
Yeah.
I was going to say something.
Stinky JC. All right, Turkey Turchin, it is your time to shine.
It's always my time to shine.
You've been talking to
By the way, I have showered. Clear that up. I brush my teeth, I shower.
It smells amazing.
So, you know, he gets lots of messages on his DMs, and especially
all about
when
you.
People
Do you get DMs?
Yeah, all about JC.
Yeah, because you're so
Actually,
great on social
DMs,
media, JC.
Not for well,
I would love to read a couple of those DMs.
Oh, I do. I don't know if I could read them over here.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you're okay, yeah, you're horrible at social media, but at least you're on it now.
I try, once in a while, like if I'm with someone, they'll go, you should put something up, and I'm like, right now?
Why don't you get someone to do it for you? We have a whole team.
Well, sometimes I get yelled at for it. They'll go, come on, man, people want to know what you're doing, and I'm like, why would anybody care about A, B, C?
Because they care.
You joined TikTok recently.
I did.
You have your one video.
I made one video.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I was like, they were like, join, and I was like, okay, fine. How do you do it?
Wait, what's your TikTok name? Is this at JC Shazay?
Do you mean to be perfectly honest? Yeah, I can't remember.
He doesn't remember.
It's probably one of those number ones.
It's JC Shazay.
Is it?
It's JC Shazay _69.
Is it?
Yes.
All right, let's get to what the fans want to know.
Well, first of all, the fans want to know, we know you don't have kids, so what is it like being a daddy? Because the Twittersphere... all of the spheres, they're like, JC's a silver fox daddy.
You can't even like...
What? No, it's a serious question.
See, what is it like to be a daddy?
What's it like being as daddy? Or as...
See, through the podcast, you can't see what's going on in my brain.
We're going to plaster these pictures everywhere.
Okay.
Or if you associate more with zaddy, that's fine as well.
Oh.
Yeah. Zaddy's way more fun.
Is it?
Yeah. What's it like being a zaddy? The fans want to know.
Well, you know...
No, we don't know. That's why I'm asking.
Okay.
Wow, he's flustered.
It's harder to wake up in the morning. You go to bed earlier. I don't even know how to answer that question. I'm so uncomfortable.
Okay. Shouldn't the fans have to answer that question? What's it like, you know, why is he a daddy? Why is he a zaddy?
I'll say this. I adopted a dog.
Yes. And thank you for adopting, JC. Yeah.
And so that has been fun.
Yeah, well, I hear he's a little messy.
And challenging, mm-hmm. But mostly fun. Yeah. So
the bulldog, right?
Yeah, I'm thankful. Aww. Every day that he's healthy, I'm thankful.
Yeah. Is he still biting people?
No. No, he might growl.
Okay.
He'll let you know when he's not into what you're saying or doing.
Yeah.
He's very expressive.
Okay.
All right, Turkey, you've stumped him on being a zaddy.
Okay,
so
we'll move
what's
on.
Your next
you can
one?
Think about that one. Another big fan question is, do your arms still look that sexy?
No.
This was an actual question.
Absolutely not.
Wait, do your arms still
look that sexy?
That sexy.
I don't. I've toned down the working out. I just keep it to like an hour.
Yeah, for a while there, you were going to the gym a lot.
I was going a lot, yeah. But now I've become reasonable, and I'm enjoying my life more than making my body hurt. Because, you know, look, when you train hard, next thing you know, you're having problems with muscles and joints and things like that. And so...
Oh, we know about it.
So now I exercise for health, not for looks.
100%. I'm injured at all times.
Yeah.
And I don't even work out that hard. Like at all.
We know.
We know. I purely work out for looks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a thing.
No, I don't. It's all for health. Okay, moving on, moving on. There's just so many questions I'm trying to get.
We're not doing all of them. Just give me two more.
I know.
Give me the paper.
It's a good one. No. There's a summer like, eh, you know. How about this? Describe your perfect day.
Oh, fans that would be nice. Okay, since everyone thinks you're such a private guy, tell us a day in the life of Joshua Scott.
I mean, everything in between doesn't matter. The there's like three things that I care about, honestly, in life. And that is the happiness and health of my family, the happiness and health of my loved ones. And then...
Would we be considered your loved ones?
Yes.
Okay, good.
And then, and honestly, being proud of something that I've worked on. Like, the rest is kind of like, I care about a lot of things, but if you like, what's the most important? You want health and happiness for your loved ones and family. And then you want to feel like you're contributing in a positive way.
What's something that you feel very proud of that you've been a part of?
I mean, look, just about anything. Again, I'm proud to be my father's, the son of my father, the son of my mother. You know, I'm proud to be a brother to my sister and brother and all my family. Like, again, it's like accomplishments are basically in my mind. And it's a bit naive and spoiled to say, because we have been very fortunate in our lives to be successful, you know? And so some people would say success is, you know, again, not having to worry about how you're going to eat the next day. That's bare minimum. Right. But the things that I've been most proud of are just feeling good about what I'm doing, right? It really is a simple thing. You just want to feel good about what you're doing.
Yeah. Nice.
Okay. Here's another very hard hitting question. Very hard to get. Do you still use a Flowbee for your hair?
Yep. Yeah.
I am glad.
I cut my hair 2 weeks ago with a Flowbee.
Did you Flowbee it?
Wait.
I Flowbee'd it.
Because last time we interviewed you, yes, we found out that you actually use a Flowbee for those locks of
those
yours.
Precious locks of yours.
Was this wasn't even a COVID thing, or was it?
No, it was. I got it as a gag gift on my birthday when I turned, and by the way, I'm in my 40s now, and on my 29th birthday.
Oh, it's like a vintage. Well, so I guess it was. Vintage.
And by the way, when they bought it to give to me as a gag gift, it was vintage. I mean, it had like, you know, reused tape and all this stuff all over it. So I got somebody else's Flowbee, which is kind of disgusting when you think about it.
A little bit.
But yeah, so I got a hand-me-down Flowbee as a joke. And then at one point I was like, you dare me to use it? Like, and then all of a sudden I was like, it's not so bad. It kind of feels good.
Right?
It's like, it makes your head nice and cool because the air is rushing. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you're like, and I'm accomplishing something because I feel good and I'm getting a haircut.
And you're getting a nice even haircut, guys.
And I'm doing it by myself. I'm not bothering anybody. Mm-hmm. So
that is one thing I remember about you on the road. You loved getting your hair washed at a salon, like to get a haircut.
Yeah.
Like this. You're the one who taught me, like, you got to get the hair wash. Dude. Like, you got to get the hair. I'm like, I never did that before. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this is great.
Well, you didn't dream big when you lived in the city.
I didn't even know you could get your hair washed. Yeah. I mean, I went to, you know, a barber. Yeah.
You
I
mean looked other at my people hair. Wash your hair? What? Yeah. Oh, my Lord. I didn't dream this big
massage.
In my life.
Yeah. Now I'm obsessed with it. Yeah. All right. Any others you got?
Like, what's the last big splurge? Like, I always like to know, like, different people. Like, what have you splurged on last? With his clothing or
New
something?
Year's.
Like, a big purchase you've done.
Because you're not a big splurger.
No, I'm not.
You've been in the same house since I've owned you, I feel like.
Like, Lance likes the guy buy shoes.
I do now.
Lots of shoes now.
Yeah. No.
Since I came to the picture.
I'm not like I'm not a thing person, but I'll splurge on experiences, right? So it's like when it's nice. I like creating memories with people. And so that's the splurge thing, right? So if it's a travel thing usually.
Yeah. So let's get into your first album, because it's so weird to think back then. A lot of people are like, wow, it's so risque, right? Oh my gosh, it's such a departure for Jason. It's funny because today there's no way that album could be risque like at all. But when it did come out and you were coming at the end of, you know, it was a different time. Mm-hmm. You were just coming out of a boy band and it was a little bit of a departure. How did that process go? Did you want something that sounded completely different from NSYNC that was more yourself? Did you even like care? It's just whatever came flowing out of you.
There were two things that I was thinking about when I was making that record. And the one thing, you know, was I just wanted it to be good. I wanted it to be interesting. And, because the artists that I liked, I always found were interesting in their storytelling. And the other thing that I wanted to do was go wherever it was that was next. I didn't want to make a record that I had already made, if that makes sense. I didn't want to make something that I'd already done. I was looking for, like, what's next.
And how do you find what's next? It's just what you in just, your brain, or do you get influenced by listening to artists in Germany?
I just think it's a combination of all things. You just kind of have to listen to the world around you, and you also, again, trust your instincts and play. Like, don't, I would say, do what you did before. If your pattern was to, you know, start this way, try starting somewhere else. So if you 9 times out of 10 started writing a song with a word in mind, this time, you know, start it, you know, again, with an instrument instead. And so I think that was part of it. And then it was also like, okay, everyone is making songs that sound like this. They're using the same sounds. Like, everyone's using the same sounds. So let me find a collection of sounds that I like that aren't the same sounds that everyone else is using. And then let me build something, a body of work around maybe a few of these things. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I started. And who knows where I ended up. I mean, I look at it now and I just go, it made sense to me, you know, yeah. But, you know.
And what was the reason you didn't want to do a follow-up album? Were you just kind of over it at that point?
I've recorded a few things, and then it was just kind of like, if you're not in love with what you're doing at the time, like, you, if you're not committed and you're not 100% all in, you're going to waste everyone's time.
Yeah.
And so I was getting to the point where I didn't feel like I was innovating. I felt like I was making part two of the thing that I had already done. I experimented for a while with it, but then it didn't feel like I was moving the conversation forward. I felt like I was having the same conversation, and that didn't make me happy. Yeah. So,
well, as an outsider, looking at your album, I was pissed on how Jive did it. And I can talk shit about Jive now because they're no longer around. But I saw what they did with Justin's album. I saw what they did with your album. And I was like, are they purposely trying to, like, sabotage you in a way? Because I did not see the same effort with your rollout than his. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then there's see if this rumor is true, the whole Pro Bowl thing. You were supposed to do the Pro Bowl, I think, with your first launch.
Yeah.
And then they canceled it because of the Janet Jackson boob thing. Is that true?
I plead the fifth.
I knew it.
That means a
yes.
I mean,
he didn't say yes.
That means a yes in legal terms.
But that's, I mean, that's the rumor.
That's just life, though, man.
That's not, but that's,
no, you're too
that's
nice.
Stupid. You're going to, like, cancel something over here just because someone you were related to did something way over here.
Yeah, you say that, though, but look, people have, like, it's, look.
So, you know, you just got punished for someone else. That's so stupid to me.
But that's so not on anyone. We're not the decision makers, right? We're the guests in that situation. So I understand that. And I understand that people have to have a bit of a reaction to do what they think is right. And I'm not the kind of person that cries over spilled milk or punishes anybody for something, you know.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what Lance and I are here for.
No, I just think, like,
spill milk all day.
It's kind of like a series of unfortunate events, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's just the way I view it. It's like, well, hey, man, it happened.
Well, it's a big thing on the Twitter and everything is hashtag justice for JC. Yeah. It's a really big thing.
Justice for JC is the trending hashtag.
It is.
Oh, nice. Over the Pro Bowl?
No, just in terms of all of it.
I mean, you trend a lot. I mean, when we did Coachella, a few years back, I mean, you were the number one trending thing for a couple of days. I mean, that must have felt great.
How do you even know that? Like, how do you calculate that?
Because you're not on social media, so you don't really know what's going on.
Yeah.
Especially at that time. I don't think you even had a TikTok.
Yeah, you just singularly, you were trending for several days.
Yeah, not even in sync. It was JC was trending. Yeah. So, I mean, the fans, they want it. They want it. So, is there anything that they're going to be able to listen to from you in the next few years? Are you working on any, even like a single or something else for someone else?
It's interesting. Look, I'm always being creative, and I've written a few things that, you know, actually I found out recently might find a home with some pretty interesting people. But the thing that I've been committed to over the last year or two now, 2 years, I've been writing a musical.
Yes.
And yeah. So
I was wondering if we could talk about that.
I mean, I don't know how much we can say about it, but that's been a really fun thing for me. So it's a totally different experience because, you know, you're tying in so many pieces and you have to be really clever about it feeling natural. Mm-hmm. When you're dealing with a musical, the worst thing that you can do, at least in my experience in watching some musicals, it's like some you're like, where did that come from? Like, why did they just bust out to that? You know? And when you watch a good musical, it feels natural. And so that's been a fun part of the process. And
those take years.
Well, apparently, I didn't know this at the time when I started it. I just, look, it was something that I was inspired by. And so I went in, you know, full speed. And then, you know, now that I'm in it like a year and a half or whatever, it's going to be, you know, 2 years in the summer. They told me when I literally played it for the first time for somebody like just a little while back. I played the first piece, and we have a full body of work, but we're making some changes now. But I was like, they were like, okay, so here's the process. Actually, you know what? It was I went and saw Juliet. It was Max. So when I was talking to Max, and he goes, so this thing took me 8 years.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? You're the biggest songwriter on earth. He goes, this took me 8 years to make.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, well, people take a year. Some people make an album in 6 months. Average people take they like to take a good year, maybe two. And that's old school mentality. So when he told me the musical took, you know, eight, by the way, not to get made, but to make it to Broadway. So he was up in London. I went and saw the premiere in London years ago.
I was with you on that one.
Yeah. And then he just did it up in New York and I went and saw him there and actually got to chat with him a bit. And he's like, yeah, this took 8 years. And I was like, woo.
Yeah, because once the book is done, then you got to work like previews and that. Yeah. I mean, who knows where you're going to do that?
It was
like
Evan Hansen. He was working on it for like a decade.
And then to even get it to Broadway, to even find a theater that you can get into, it's just, it is an undertaking.
It is, but I'll tell you this. It's been some of the most fun I've had in forever.
Mm.
Because, you know, look, I like the subject matter. And so, to get into that stuff every day and find ways to connect it emotionally has been a ton of fun. It's been exhausting and exciting at the same time.
Yeah. It's a great story. It's about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
It's not.
But it's a new telling where he was on crack for a bit.
He did.
And so this is him coming back.
Whoa.
I know. Yeah.
This took a turn.
Well, I mean, you're a deep writer. You're a deep writer.
It wasn't a red nose he had either.
Okay, one question before we take a break, and then we're going to come back because we always like to, this is our first show. We're always going to like to end with.
Am I going to set a precedent?
You are. You are, my friend. But we have an old, I think, Bop magazine quiz. And I want to see if you're.
I guarantee you I fail this for sure.
See if your answers match.
What's your favorite color? I like rainbows.
But before we go there, everyone wants to know, of course, we're still on our hiatus. I mean, this long 20-year hiatus.
Look, guys, I know you're on hiatus.
Coming
now.
From you, do you think we'll ever do anything again?
Anything ever?
Anything.
Sure.
Okay.
But I'd have no idea when or what it is.
All right.
I look, have to ask the question. Yeah, man, it's like.
Because I'll never forget.
Lance wants to know too.
An MTV Christmas special. And it was, we had already decided we were going to go on our 6 month hiatus. Mm-hmm. So we're doing it in Orlando, the Christmas special. And we were upstairs and it was in a hotel room, but it had an upstairs and we were on the bed. And that's when Justin came to us and said, hey, on our time off, I'm going to work on a solo album. Mm-hmm. We're like, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I remember you commented to me, you're like, oh, I think that might be the end.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? I thought that was so crazy. I'm like, that's ridiculous. Not even think. And it was.
Yeah.
How are you so insightful at like that time?
I think it's just, it felt like the evolution.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just felt. It,
I was like, so naive.
It was the journey. And I think it happened the way it was supposed to happen. That's, that's the reality of it. And you could feel it. And, but you know, look, again, I don't think, you know, that anything is happening right now. Obviously it's not, but
I would know.
Yeah. You know, but for such a long time, everybody was like, never, 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 never. Mm-hmm. But then you realize as you get older, maybe you just soften up a bit and you're like, it's probably a never, but I won't say never.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's probably the best way to say it.
All right. Well,
the fans hate that answer.
Yeah. Well, okay. All right, let's take a little break. When we come back, we're going to see if JC here can match his. Oh, you're doing it to me too?
Yeah,
oh,
of course.
Lord, I guess I'm getting quizzed too. Let's see if we're still the same from 1998. We'll be right back.
Hey, LA, Lance Bass here with the latest in the City of Angels. From epic shopping to nonstop pride events, DiscoverLA.com is your gateway to everything LA. From walk-up windows and rooftop bars to year-round alfresco dining, Los Angeles is a culinary thrill ride sure to leave visitors hungry for more. From tacos to sushi, we truly have some of the best restaurants. After you get a bite to eat, get a taste for fame firsthand by attending a star ceremony on Hollywood Boulevard or glimpse behind the scenes at World Famous Studio Tour. Stop and see a movie at the iconic El Capitan Theater and check out the stairs outside the Dolby Theater where all the stars walk before the Oscars. Take a hike at glamorous Griffith or stop for a boba or a draft cold brew at an outdoor cafe perfect for people watching. There are endless amounts of outdoor activities in LA with our beautiful weather. And of course, Pride is celebrated every day in Los Angeles. Everyone is welcome to experience our sparkling nightlife, indulgent spas, and sensational shopping. Plan your weekend at DiscoverLA.com. It's time to leave your mark in the City of Angels. Lance Bass, signing off.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeart Radio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage. A 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeart Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Frosted Tips. Yes. All right, we got JC Chazay with us on our very first episode. All right, Turkey Turchin here, my lovely
Can you pass
co-host.
Me Lance over there? Just pass me his page.
Wait, oh, you're going to ask me the questions?
No, I just want to see the picture.
Oh, here's the picture.
Now, those are some real Frosted Tips right there.
Those are the
it's
most
not even the
frosted.
Tips. Yeah. It's just a frost.
You know
frost.
Why I did my hair like that? I remember that era.
Because he loves Susan
Soren
Powder.
Soren from Aqua. Remember Soren from
yeah,
Aqua?
Yeah, come on.
I was obsessed. Might have had a crush on him. And I wanted my hair just like his. And so I went all white.
I thought you were obsessed with Susan Powder.
Yes, yeah, and Susan Powder.
Workout
yeah.
guru.
And apparently Sarah Michelle Gellar. That was my go-to. Who's your crush? Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yep,
that was it.
So. Why, though? Just
because
out of curiosity.
She's every man's dream, and she's so hot, and I want
so
to date
hot.
Her.
She's
and marry,
rad,
marry
though.
Her.
Like, she's cool.
I mean, hello, it's Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. We just ran into her. Oh, she was at that wedding we went to.
Oh, she was.
She was. Yes. The Pretty Prince. Freddie still Prince going strong.
Junior still going strong.
I know. Okay, give it to us. So here's a quiz.
They're simple questions.
I think it's from 1998, right?
Yeah.
Is this Teen Machine, Bop?
It's teen something.
Speaking of, how did Scooter Braun, you know, he bought Bop magazine and Teen Machine and all those teen magazines not too long ago, and then they all went away. I wonder why he couldn't do anything with that since he has such the young artist right now.
I mean, he might be cooking something up. You don't know.
Okay. The other thing is it true?
Won't you ask him?
Oh, he's not in a boy band. He can't be on Frosted Tips. Did he have Frosted Tips? I guess you can be on the show if you had Frosted Tips. So Ryan Seacrest,
you can't have all these rules, man.
We're making up a lot of rules.
You better open up. If you want guests, you better keep your door open.
I mean, there is a finite amount of boy band members out there.
I was going to say.
Well, yeah.
We'll have to open it up.
You can be a boy band adjacent.
Because you could, you should probably talk, like you said, to managers. People would probably want some insight into that. You might want to talk to choreographers. You might want to talk to,
people, girls who've dated boy banders and got all the real gossip.
Maybe we'll talk to Eva Longoria over there. Oh, that was a hot little minute y'all dated. Okay, here's another thing.
Oh, my God.
I did not know, because, Justin's dated all kinds of starlets. Eva was the girl.
The most visible.
Yeah. But he was telling me that you dated Tara Reid.
We were friends.
Okay. Because I was like, I don't remember that. He goes, I swear. I'm like, I don't remember that at all. But it was when I was over in Russia. So I'm like, well, maybe he had this little brief thing.
They definitely dated. By the way, Tara Reid, have you checked her TikTok out lately?
I have.
Oh, y'all need to be TikTok friends.
That would be a thing.
It's a thrill. I'm not going to comment on it, but you should go see it.
Wait, what is her TikTok like?
I don't know, but there's a second coming.
You do know, by the way.
There's a second coming to Britney Spears, and her name is Tara Reid.
Okay.
Yeah, someone take the TikTok away from
her. Oh, we didn't get
to
talk about Britney. I would kind of like to bring that up. Well, especially now, I just feel like, mental health is such a huge thing that everyone is finally discussing and talking about. And, this business can be hard. Mm. I mean, you have to have a thick skin, which most people don't. And it can just affect you. And we see that with people like, Amanda Bynes, what Britney's going through, and Kanye West right now. That there's something off, right? And my thing that I keep seeing that's making it worse is, and we love you fans out there, and they're majority incredible fans, but I think there is that little section of fans that enable people like a Kanye West and a Britney Spears, especially on social media. And I think that can be, like a little dangerous. So what's your take on like the Kanye West thing right now?
If you don't have anything nice to say,
yes,
shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I say.
I like it. And on that note, let's get to the 90s quiz. All right. We'll go back and forth. I'll sit over here. Start with C over here.
Okay, I will. Well, they're pretty easy. They're just straightforward.
I couldn't even grow
favorite
any
food,
facial
favorite
hair.
This, favorite that. I like this one because I like Lance's answer here.
What kind of girl do I like?
What are the qualities you look for in a girl?
She has to be sweet. I'm pretty sure I was very...
Oh my God, I love your answer because clearly you're afraid of girl sex. I like a good girl, someone who's very innocent.
Very innocent, very religious.
Yes.
That wants to wait until marriage.
Yes.
Is that what I said?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want a good girl who's very innocent.
And I still say that today. Perfect.
JC, what do you look for? Your number one quality in a woman.
My number one quality in a woman? Mm-hmm.
He said boobs. Was it boobs? No. Okay, it wasn't.
No, it's not Joey. It's JC.
Honesty first, everything else, like whatever.
Yes, that was one of you said confidence.
Honesty.
Plus patience and honesty.
Yeah.
Oh.
Look at you, consistent. Okay, we got that. What were your favorite hobbies back then? You listed three.
I listed three hobbies. Probably sleeping, and sleeping.
He was a sleeper.
Listen, you liked football, swimming, and karate.
Swimming?
Wait, what?
And karate?
Football, swimming, and karate, JC.
When did you do karate?
I never did karate, so they literally made that answer up.
I don't know.
I guarantee you, I didn't fill that part out. I'm telling you right now.
And swimming.
Must have been because when we were all like lived in that house, we had a pool in the backyard, but that makes no sense. Like,
Lance, what was your favorite hobby?
Definitely jet skiing.
Yes. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you not peek at this?
No, because it still is one of my favorite hobbies.
When was the last time you rode a jet ski?
Not too long ago. It was in the ocean in Puerto Vallarta.
What? Years ago. Huh? Many moons
before
ago.
Before COVID, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So pre-COVID. Years ago.
Yeah. It's his favorite hobby. You're
like, it's my favorite thing. I've done it twice.
Done it twice.
And I haven't done it in years, and I can go anytime I want.
Yeah, it's true. What's your favorite film?
That changes a lot. Right now, ooh, man.
No, what was it in 1998?
What was it in 90, yeah. In the 90s or whatever, mm-hmm. or 2000s? It's going to be Star Wars, I'm guessing.
Yep.
But now it's, the answer. Yeah, it's totally, no. It's
anything?
I mean, by the way, no, because I still, don't get me wrong, I love Star Wars, but now I've turned into that person that it's like, the next film that you see is like your favorite film. You're like, oh, it's okay. So good.
You know what I saw? The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
You know what I saw?
Was that his answer?
No.
God, I hope so.
I'm sure mine's Clue.
Clue.
Thank you.
I'm a huge fan of that film.
Still is. My favorite movie, though, this year, it was that, I can't ever remember the title,
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
So good.
Sausage Fingers.
Yes. Oh, my God. It was just a surprise. I'm like, holy crap.
That was a great movie. Yeah. Who's your favorite movie stars?
Movie stars. Well, see, again,
singular.
It would change now.
You had two.
I had two?
Yeah.
I'm going to say probably if I liked Star Wars, I'll probably say Harrison Ford.
Yep,
on that
was one.
And then who would be the other actor? It's going to be Hilary Swank.
Put Meg Ryan. Meg Ryan fan.
Oh, because I used to like, you know what? I used to love those little rom-coms.
Oh, yeah. Like,
Sleepless in Seattle.
And
Lance, French Kiss.
Whose was yours?
I mean, I pretty much had a crush on Meg Ryan, I'm sure, but I bet I said Julia Roberts and Tom Hanks.
No, you said Tara Reid. Just kidding. No, you said Tom Hanks.
Oh, my God.
Okay, what's your favorite food?
Now or then?
No, then.
Okay, because see, again, you're
snap out of it.
So I have to get it right.
I'm talking to you as if you are 12
years
old.
I'm in a time machine. It's like,
yeah, 25 years
ago. This is the new me. That's the old me.
Yeah.
We don't look back.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's asking me to look back.
Except this whole show is about looking back.
Was my favorite back then?
Sure. You can say both.
Any. It's going to be something. It's going to probably be like an Asian food. Maybe.
Yeah. Chinese. That was it. Yeah. Lance, what was your favorite food?
You're gonna Italian. Like, no. Or it's like French toast.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, see, mine are all the same.
Lance is not evolved.
Later.
Basically, what this proves is Lance is not evolved.
I have not evolved at all.
Then we have two more questions. It's just things. This is very vague. Loves. You love
dogs.
JC wrote Shakespeare.
I do.
He loves
Shakespeare and karate.
Well, yeah, exactly. He was so dateable.
No, you know, it's like you go through phases, though, right? Like you're learning about your craft. So it's like I was going through a Shakespeare phase. My Greek phase was probably like 3 or 4 years ago. I was obsessed with all the Greeks. Yeah.
See, JC was the one you wanted to marry, and I was the one you wanted to be best friends with.
That was also a popular hashtag, marry a JC. That's a thing on the social media.
I'm not the one.
Yeah. Guys, marry JC.
You think
JC.
You'll ever get married? There's so many of my friends that are like, no, never, ever want to be married.
That's a weird question for me.
You would if it, I don't know. Maybe if they wanted it more than you, I don't know.
That's a loaded question. Yeah. I'm not touching that.
On the next episode. And then hates.
Hates.
Anything bad.
Jeez, you said your hair.
You hated the frosted tips and now you have an entire program.
That was right after my orange comb over. So yeah, I hated it.
And JC hates liars.
Liars. He likes honesty, guys.
Unless they know karate.
Unless they know karate.
Oh, JC, it was so good having you on our first episode of Frosted Tips.
It was my worst nightmare.
Well, that's what we're here for. Is there anything that you would like to tell these lovely listeners out there that we didn't get to talk about? Anything you want to say, hey, this is coming out, you should see this? Or is there a movie you like, you know, or a flavor of ice cream they should try?
All great
questions.
See,
this is for the camera.
Rum raisin.
They held me in this room captive for hours. I had no way out. They locked the door. My jeans are glued to the chair.
I mean, I can ask more Tara Reid questions.
But we have peanuts and pretzels, so we're good. We could be here for
and
another
And they ran
days.
Out of coffee.
Well, sorry.
All right, see you. So
let me out!
Very good to see you.
You as well.
But we do have to shout out AJ McLean. It's his birthday today.
Happy birthday, young man.
All right, guys. Well, we'll see you next time on Frosted Tips with Lance Bass. Hey, thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at Frosted Tips with Lance.
And Michael Turgeon-Art.
And at Lance Bass for all your pop culture needs.
And make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars, 6 if you can. See you next time.
Hey, LA. Lance Bass here with the latest in the City of Angels. Immerse yourself in our vibrant fashion scene where exclusive streetwear meets high-end boutiques. Stroll through styles defining our bold, wildly creative city, like the unique finds at Melrose Trading Post, a real LA gem. Explore star-studded experiences on Hollywood Boulevard, behind-the-scenes studio tours, and moments of awe under our legendary blue sky. Picture this. The iconic Griffith Observatory, inspiring directors worldwide. Plan your weekend at discoverla.com. It's the time to leave your mark in the City of Angels. Lance Bass, signing off.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.